Well, looks like the intro to this kind of got messed up, but this is Dr. Newton. Hey, namaste. And let's get ready to rumba. So, really excited to have one of my new books out, Beyond the Mists of Time. And today's topic is, would we be better off if trees ruled the earth? And I'm going to let you judge that for yourself. I already know what I think. I already know what I know. But you can come to your own conclusion. So, originally, when I conceived this book, I was basically just going to go back into the old cultures, very old cultures that are never talked about, that are completely ignored, the cultures of ancient India, and I'm talking about back 1.9 billion years, into the culture of Lemuria or Mu, which is in the area of the Pacific that probably spanned from what is Tahiti today to up to Hawaii. And also the area of Atlantis, which pretty much took a large portion, pretty much all of the where the Atlantic Ocean is right now, and basically went from Florida to Portugal or something within those parameters, maybe in the north up to about England and then down, maybe not quite that high, or maybe about England and then down into about Portugal, Spain area. And then I went to Sumer, which goes back 450,000 years ago. Atlantis may be 250 to 300,000. Lemuria about 350,000. Egypt, I thought was about 13,000 back, but there was some recent evidence that the New Humanity movement, the alchemy event, where we're actually getting some things that can be dated into Egypt back to 25 million years. So definitely the timelines are being blown to smithereens. I also went to Greece just a little bit, Palestine a little more, Central America and Peru, and also checked out what the indigenous peoples were doing. Now this book is just it's just breaking on Amazon, and I listed on Blog Talk Radio what the link is. I think I also gave it on my Facebook pages, but if you go to Amazon and if you write in Beyond the Mists of Time When Trees Rule the Earth, and it's important to get that subtitle because unwittingly someone else uses Beyond the Mists of Time for their series of books, and I certainly didn't want to duplicate that. Eventually, the name of the book was Arboriforia, When Trees Ruled the Earth, but I knew that almost no one would know what Arboriforia meant other than people that are into horticulture and into botany and things like that, and maybe biology. So, this was really an amazing venture I had. I had a certain amount of idea. I've been studying all these cultures for a long period of time, maybe some of them for 2.5 decades, like Egypt, and others a little less. But one of the benefits of doing Kriya Kundalini Pranayama and Kriya Kundalini Yoga is they allow you to access a state of samadhi. And in a state of samadhi, your breathing can be suspended and your heart can stop beating. And additionally, what this does is it heightens your psychic abilities to a level that few people can comprehend. And even beyond what's available with the hallucinogenics like ayahuasca and psilocybin and LSD and some of the other things that people are using to get into altered states of consciousness. So the first thing that I did is I went back and I viewed the earth before anyone ever even came here. Once in a while there were probes from Sirius and possibly from Nibiru that were coming here and just doing little expeditions, touching down, making a camp, and then taking off and going back to their planet. In its original form, many years ago, several billion years ago, even before the culture of India started in 1.9 billion years ago. And also the culture of India also spanned to Tibet and and to Tibet and to Nepal, and I've also had some Vedic scholars that have confirmed this, so it's basically known as a factual thing. Anyway, the Earth originally had this much warmer climate than we have right now. There was a much higher oxygen content, and there was a lot of there was a lot of prana coming in from the sun, prana, chi, life force, coming in to the planet. And despite what people say today, they say, well, the plants can't grow in the hotter environment. It is true. When plants get into an area where it's hotter than they're used to, they will receive sun scald on the leaves and the branches at times. But eventually the plants will adapt to it. So if the plants are already coming in, incarnating into this environment, it was much easier to get along. And basically what you had was forests that rivaled and probably even exceeded what I saw on my road trip with Eloina after the Science and Non-Duality Conference. We went up to Muir Woods, which is an amazing redwood forest. And then that was I'd been there several times before, but we also went to the Henry Cowell Redwood Forest in Santa Cruz, and I was quite astonished to find that it was equally as magnificent as Muir Woods, except it didn't have as many ferns, which means it's not as moist, okay? But it's reasonably moist because that's what redwoods take to grow, and they need that moisture from the ground and from the fog and everything. There's multiple ways that plants and trees can take in moisture, and that would be called in a foliar manner. So anyway, it was on that kind of level. And the interesting thing was that the way things were created in nature on planet, I won't venture how they were on the other planets, but I would almost assume that it was similar on the other ones, that the trees had a fractal proportion of branches in relation to the size they were. So the taller they were, the more branches would manifest. And a fractal is basically a geometry or a shape that keeps repeating itself. Additionally, we had a fractal relation between the branches and the amount of small trees and the plants that were underneath. So this goes to prove precisely that there is a God or a controlling force or a controlling intelligence running things on the planet. So as I talked about in A Map to Healing and Your Essential Divinity Through Theta Consciousness, my second book, I talked about how there were these geometric forms that kept replicating themselves, these nine geometric forms that replicated over and over again on the atomic level. Okay, so we have something similar into the land of the plant kingdom, where we have geometries and proportions and everything that show that this is not like a chaotic universe or that chaos theory runs the universe. Nothing could be further from the truth, because once again we see this demonstrated over and over again through nature, and we see it in fruits too. You also see those fractals in fruits like oranges and apples and all kinds of things. You keep seeing pineapples, watermelon, it doesn't make any much difference. You'll see these geometries if you look for them. So if you do a cross section on the fruit, you will see it, and you'll also see the fractal geometries on the outside, like also on a pineapple or cherimoya or things like that. So it's very, very interesting how this stuff manifests. So what was going on? So the interesting thing was you had these big, giant, huge trees, and yet the other plants and trees underneath learned to, this wasn't in all your areas, but it was over most of the earth. And so the big trees basically could have taken all the sunlight, and they could have taken all the nitrogen in the soil and the oxygen in the environment, and they could have taken and hogged it and hoarded it, except they chose to share it. And by sharing it, they were also benefited, because there's some plants that are called legumes, which like beans and peas, but there's also plants that do this, that they fix nitrogen into the soil. So These plants shared nitrogen with the trees. The trees shared their minerals that they could pull out of the ground with their huge tap roots and their huge horizontal roots that they could pick up. And they shared this with the plants. And then the trees also shared their mycorrhizae fungus, which is a white thing that attaches to the roots and goes out in a direction. And it's kind of interesting how this works. So let me take a break right here. Could you call into the show and see if my broadcast is running? Because I can't tell. Could you call into that number?
And what do I ask?
Please call into the number and see if the show is broadcasting. I don't care what you ask. Okay, excuse me. I'm not sure what's going on right here. I can't really tell if the show is... I guess we are on the air. So this was the amazing... This was the amazing thing. Okay, this is the amazing thing. Just stay on. So this was the amazing thing. You had all of this stuff going on. You had the sharing going on, and like I said, the trees could have hoarded everything, but they chose to share it because there was benefits. And anyway, they have a divine aspect to them that anyway shows a zeitgeist thrive mentality where we share all the resources. And this is, I find, really cool. So do humans do that right now? Do they share? Yeah, in some cases, but the super rich, the oligarchs, the aristocracy, the people that have way more money than they could ever use, they don't want to share it. They want to hoard it all. So we'll get to that later. So this is like really interesting. And so you had all of this thing. You had this great lush environment, and you had a cooperation. And the plants didn't need any government, by the way, because everyone lived within the parameters of sustainability. In other words, no plant or no tree used more resources, including minerals, nitrogen, and the oxygen coming in than was absolutely necessary. So... So we already have a template of perfection of how we can exist in a state of sustainability. Okay, so, you know, when I viewed this, I can't really describe everywhere, even in the exactly well, but what I saw was something of, you know, an amazing amount. And you also had the trees cooperating with the animals and the animals cooperating with the trees, because the trees provided fruit for the animals. And in return, and leaves that the animals could eat some of, but the animals knew not to eat too many of the leaves because they would kill the trees. They inherently knew about a sustainability. And also in a symbiotic relationship, the animals would go and they would eat insects and things that would come in to the trees. And so everything would keep in balance and there would be no infestation of insects that could kill the trees. So isn't this beautiful? I think it is. All right, so eventually in India, 1.9 billion years ago, I'm going to chapter 2 of the book. I'm not looking at it, but I'm going to chapter 2 of the book. The civilization from Sirius B came down into India and brought with them the Sanskrit language and Kriya Kundalini Yoga and quite possibly Hinduism. But definitely they brought the Sanskrit language, and definitely, as I could see, they brought this amazing thing that I've been doing for over 20 years, Kriya Kundalini Yoga. All right, so this first culture, on Sirius B, this is a highly evolved culture. This is like a fifth dimension operating system on this area of Sirius B and the other Sirius planets and the Orion's belt. And the interesting thing was, is that here again, You didn't even need a government to govern the people because no one was greedy. The word government, by the way, is a Greek word that means govern, to control, and ment, which means mind, and menta means mind in Spanish, and I think mento or mento or mentos means mind in Latin. So we have an overlapping of what that word means. And whenever you have someone trying to control you, well, you can't have liberty. That's just the way it is. A lot of people think, well, we live in a democracy in the United States of America. Well, actually, technically, it's supposed to be a republic, but that was ended some time ago. Those who think it's still here, well, that nice wishful thinking, but it doesn't exist right now because of the bankruptcy in 1933 that was declared. All that stuff was ended. Okay, so let's get back to the point at hand. So no government was needed. Additionally, no doctors or no hospitals were needed because the people didn't get sick. And why didn't the people get sick? Well, because they didn't have the emotions of greed, of fear, of anger, resentment. Everyone did Kriya Kundalini Yoga. And by doing the Kriya Kundalini Yoga, it kept them in a balanced mental state. They also did the yoga, the Kriya Yoga asanas, or the stretching. Even the people that were highly evolved and even went into samadhi, which basically meant they were living in a higher frequency light body, where their body was much more light than flesh, didn't need to breathe, didn't need to take in oxygen, at least through inhalation, didn't need to eat, didn't need to drink. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but it wasn't something that they had to do. You know, and additionally, when in this great state that these people lived in, and it was really amazing looking at it, when they were in a relationship, there was no extracurricular activity, there was no polymorphous type relationships where there was more than one partner, or the people venturing out, their wife swapping or anything, because everything was so idyllic that when you had a sexuality and you had a sexual liaison with your partner, it was so amazing that you knew you couldn't exceed it with anyone else anyway, so there was no need to go out and look around and to do around, but there was already this perfect state, and I mean really perfect, as per Alaf Kaf Alaf, the seventh name of God from Exodus in the Torah. And so this was really cool to watch, and it was also interesting for me to actually watch and look at a past lifetime that I'd had there too. It was quite interesting to see how I interacted in that particular lifetime and how I was actually doing Kriya Kundalini Pranayama more than a billion years ago. So eventually, you know what happened? I don't know. And the reason that everything worked really perfectly is because the people were surrounded by a lush landscape of nature. The flora and fauna were abundant. The people respected and lived. They lived within the parameters of nature. They didn't go around defiling the earth. And since everyone had enough to exist, no one needed to hoard things, so there was enough for everyone. So this is, you know, kind of the way that we're going to need to get back to, and it's completely doable. But there's more than enough resources on Earth right now for everyone. It's just that you got these big piggies, as the Beatles song goes, look at the piggies, little piggies, leaving something lies. Anyway, a crappy song that I did, a crappy rendition. But the point simply being is that even the Beatles know, and they had a lot of money. They knew that people were hoarding. They knew that things were getting tied up. All right, so let's go to Lemuria. So that's the next place I went to, because that kind of came in a line after India, ancient India. Also, of course, ancient India eventually went out of the went out of the Satyug. This is like the highest. This is like the highest span of several hundred thousand years where humanity can exist, going through three more permutations of time cycles down to the Kali Yug, which is the worst of the worst, or the worst of the worst, if you don't understand my Yiddish. So, Anyway, so when you get down into these cycles, I know that it's possible, it's beyond belief for us to stay in the Satyug. I don't want to be trapped, even as much as I venerate Hinduism and yoga, I don't want to be trapped within this thing that everything has to be cyclical. But as per Alaf Kaf Alaf, restoring things to their perfect state or keeping things in a state of continuing perfection. Once you look at the past and see what happened, then you can be aware and you can take measures to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And so this is like learning from the experiences of others, which is, I don't know if there's a name of God for that. I wish I had my list right here. There probably is. But anyway, it has to do with wisdom and venerating the cultures that came before and your ancestors and everything. We can learn from them. We can learn what to do and we can learn what not to do. So as I said, next I went to Lemuria, which probably spanned from at least from where it's Tahiti today up to, you know, the Hawaiian Islands. But at one time this was one continent. But remember, this continent's on the Ring of Fire, and it's on the Ring of Fire, especially out in the ocean. Right now in Hawaii and in the other parts of the Pacific, there's volcanoes going up underwater right now. And that could also be it is responsible for a lot of your perceived global warming, way more of a way significant of a factor than the so-called carbon, which is the most ridiculous thing that's ever been conjured up. It's really sad to me that so many people have been bamboozled into believing this baloney. But anyway, I'm going to stay on the topic. So these people were so damn evolved. They were so gentle. They were so psychic. They were so intuitive that they basically, even though they had a language, and even though they sang and they chanted and they danced and they were good artisans, and they basically communicated telepathically. So what this meant was, if someone was not telling the truth, you would immediately know. You would immediately be outed because multiple people would pick it up. And so therefore, this is a perfect checkmate against the kind of flim-flam men and the kind of people conjuring up schemes all the time to try to get us to do something, telling us one thing, but it actually being another, like different financial schemes, Ponzi schemes, things like that. So also in both Lemuria and India, the people didn't really have currency or coinage because they didn't really need it because, you know, you basically use barter to change things back and forth. And, you know, this also meant that you didn't have to work so hard and that you could really enjoy your life. And so imagine what that would be like right now if you could really concentrate on what you wanted to do. You did a few things, goods and things that you made. Maybe you had a 3D printer and you could make things with it that people wanted. And then someone else has some food that you need. Maybe someone else has some fuel you need or something like that, or some furniture or something like that. Things going back and forth. Really, money is the root of all evil. I was just thinking about that before this show, is that at least a system of money created, especially the way that they're created right now within the U.S. government and the euro and all of these being fractionalized currencies or vapor currencies based on nothing of inherent value. So they completely circumvented that flim-flam-a-rama type scenario, and that was really beautiful to see that and watch that. And again, you had people that lived, made their houses out of the things that were at hand. They lived in an area where the growing environment was so perfect and so prolific, so humid and so much heat that within like if you picked a fruit or something on a tree, within almost no matter of time, the fruit replaced itself. So there's never really been much like that. There's parts of Maui and Kauai and the Big Island of Hawaii that are still like that today. Almost. They're close to it. They're not the same. But you have this prolific growing environment where tropical fruits and subtropical fruits just grow at an extreme rate. All right, so eventually, so Lemuria went along. Lemuria was really cool, but again, they had a bunch of volcanoes go off, a big earthquake go off, and then the planet subducted, which means most of it sank except for what you see today in Tahiti, Samoa, Hawaiian Islands, and some of those other few islands out in the Pacific. It's still there. It just sank, and this is a natural process of geological forces, plates moving, continents subducting, which means falling down or going down underneath. And what happened was some of the people in Lemuria stayed there. A lot of them took off and went to Atlantis. Now, this is the third chapter of my book. So in Atlantis, some interesting things happened. And there you also had Sumerians that wound up in Atlantis, too. Exactly how these people got along was kind of interesting because the Sumerians are kind of like warrior-like. If you look at the Old Testament, that's about the Sumerians, whether people like it or not. It's basically about the Anunnaki and all of the, a lot of the things they were doing, as well as Israelites and things mixed in there. For the Sumerians, Atlantis was a better growing environment. For the Lemurians, it was not nearly as good. But basically, they learned, they used their intuition for the growing of agriculture. They found out about things like gibberellic acid, about humic acids, about the mycorrhizae funguses, things like that, different substances that and different ways that they could build the soil, make it better, the use of greenhouses and things like that where they could actually start growing, and also the use of, I'm trying to think of that kind of agriculture, hydroponics and aquaponics was also used right there too. So if you think it's something new, it's not. There's nothing new on this planet. It's been cycled through many cultures many times before it ever got to us. And so everything went along okay for a while, and there was not really too much government. There was, but it started poking its head up as development started to increase, and the people started getting away from nature. And then an interesting thing happened. I didn't mention that also the Lemurians really never got sick anyway, so they didn't need doctors or hospitals either. But amazingly enough, they actually wound up eventually on Atlantis. And you also had this problem of people starting to hoard things, which screws everything up, as you can see today. Beyond all that, you had, they were actually doing like we're doing right now. A couple things that they did that are happening here right now, they were doing genetic experiments. So those experiments that you hear about in some from supposedly Greek mythology, which is really Greek reality of what happened in history, where you have the Bacchus, the goat, and the man, where you have the Pegasus, the horse, and the bird, where you have some of the other combinations, the mermaids and the mermen, combination of fish and men and women. These things actually existed. And they were created by the scientists there, and they're like these people that are doing the similar thing, like in the DARPA project in the U.S. They've created these super soldiers that are very fierce, are kind of part human and part robotic. And I wouldn't be surprised if they created this Pegasus and things over there at Love Island off of New York and off of Connecticut. People have seen some real strange creatures around that area in the water and up on the land. So, again, realize what happened in the past happens in the future. Additionally, guess what? They also were spraying crap up into the sky to supposedly control the temperature because it started getting hotter. As what is happening on the Earth right now, and what's happening right now is because I explained it in an article I shared on Dr. Robert Newton's blog, Removing the Shackles, and that shows how things are actually getting hotter, but the benefit for it getting hotter. So the benefit of things getting hotter, just for anyone that says, well, Doc has taken too much of the Jonestown Kool-Aid, or he's taken too much ayahuasca, which I don't really take. Anyway, the benefit for having things hotter is a basic concept of chemistry. If you heat something up, the atoms move faster. If the atoms move faster, you get more energy. When the atoms in your body move faster, that's when it goes into the light body. So everyone wants a light body, but none of you, or very few of you, have actually considered I've seen from my students that I pulled that have really considered how this is really achieved. So this is why Kriya Kundalini Pranayam that the Indians did and what I do today, this is why it can help take you into the light body, into a state of immortality, because you're taking the dense energy of the body, and there is no matter. You're simply taking the dense energy of the body and raising the frequency of it and making it less dense and more permeable, which is a really cool thing, which means you basically can't get hurt anymore. So anyway, so they started doing these experiments, spraying this nanotechnologies, the aerosol, the strontium 90, barium oxide, and aluminum into the sky. And lo and behold, the people started getting sicker than hell, which is happening here right now. It's kind of interesting. And so the more this happened, the more doctors that were needed. And then instead of using herbal remedies, which they originally used, then they went to synthesized medicine. Does that remind you of the pharmaceutical cartel of today? And all the ridiculously ineffective and side effect or iatrogenesis type remedies and medicines that they create. And when you take a natural substance, an herb or a fruit or a plant, and you extract just the active ingredient out, you're creating an aberrated form beyond which the creator never intended. So if you screw with the way the creator set things up, then you get the consequences. So you know, this idea, what I call it, Dunkoff medicine. I just actually brought up that designation, that the Dunkoff medicine, then you get Dunkoff results. You don't get good results. When you use the herbs, you're using the full complex, no side effects, more longer lasting healing as opposed to what you get today. So anyway, what we got in Atlantis is that we got. You went from a really high state and you went to a degenerated state, and also they started mining everything. They started going for energy. They started going for minerals and things like that. They started cutting down the forest too much in a non-sustainable manner. So they reaped all the problems. So additionally, they were also screwing around with the scalar waves, the ELF complex, like Alaska, Russia, China, and at least India also have. And what really happened was the kind of mess that you're getting right now. And through these experiments, not only were they blowing holes in the ionosphere like the so-called moron scientists are doing here or being directed to do here, but also they were also directing energies into the ground and everything. And in the process of doing that, they activated an earthquake, several volcanoes, and an earthquake. And what that did was cause that planet to subduct also. So There's plenty of vestiges of Atlantis underwater. I've seen pictures of a pyramid that's been found off of, I think it's Portugal. I've seen big megalithic blocks underwater off of the coast of Florida. And I've seen other ruins off of the coast of Portugal and things like that. So you can kind of see at least the breadth of how far that planet, or that, excuse me, how far that continent, not planet, but how far that continent went. And, you know, it's just sad seeing the same old things happening over and over again. But nevertheless, we will, with when we put our collective consciousness to it. I've already put mine to it. I met a lot of people at the Alchemy event, the New Humanity Movement, that are also going to do it. If I have time, I'll talk about those things, but I'm going to be interviewing some of those people on my show, and I really have some real exciting things for you. I'm excited about it, and I'm very positive you will be too. So what happened is that Atlantis completely sank. There aren't much of it left. There's maybe, what, the Azores, that off, I think that's off of Spain or Portugal, that still are there. But there's not really much going on. And you got Bermuda and you have a few other places, but it basically sank. So basically, most of the people either died or they had to migrate someplace. So the next migration was to Egypt. And so Atlantis went down about 13,000 years ago. Sophocles, Herodotus, Aristotle, and Plato all talk about Atlantis as an actual, as a place that actually existed. And so if one person talks about it, that's not much of a synchronicity. But when you get four people talking about it, you get a pretty established synchronistic pattern that shows you that, you know, these dudes were talking about something that was going down. And a lot of their knowledge came from Egypt anyway. And eventually, you know, some of the personages of these different areas went to Egypt. There's an interesting thing, too, because in both Palestine, there was Enoch, who was also Thoth, or Thoth in Sumer, who was also Thoth in Atlantis, who was also Thoth in Egypt, who was also known as Hermes Trismegistus in Greece, and who was also known as Quetzalcoatl in Central America. So, interesting how this personage got around. Okay, I saw Thoth being an instrumental part of the stuff, the development of Atlantis and Sumer, and in both, in Sumer, both Thoth and Enki were about the only people that really liked the humans there, because those were both of extraterrestrial origins, Enki being a Anunnaki and Thoth being from Sirius roots, or Syrian, but not Syria the country, but Syrian of the star of the planet, far, far away in Orion's belt. So, what we have here is we have a continuity. We have one personage all the way from Sumer and Atlantis linking all the way through Egypt, through Greece, and through Palestine, and through Central America. I find it astonishing. And at what this Thoth did, what Thoth did was most amazing, the kind of stuff. He was definitely doing a lot of building in of things in Atlantis, probably involved with the pyramids and the temples there, and he was definitely involved in Sumer and the probably in construction, and also with I believe he and Enki were the ones that came up with the 72 names of God. So just to jump back, because I didn't really pick up the Sumerian. So the Sumerian culture probably goes about 450,000 years back, and we know from the records carved into the mountainside in Iran that we have a rosy tablet, or a decoding mechanism where they could, where Zechariah Sitchin decoded the Sumerian language and everything. And it is, I've seen pictures of it. It's carved right into the side of the mountain. There's also, I think there's, what else is there? I think there's some stuff in Farsi, and I think there's some stuff in Egyptian hieroglyphs. I think there's some stuff in some other things. So it's a most interesting place. Hope to be able to visit that someday. We'll visit that someday. Just want to see it. Or I might just teleport into there and take the easy way to get there. Who knows? Or remote view it a little bit more. So the Sumerians were basically more of warriors and everything. And you can see, like I said, the conflicts in the Bible. It looks like that they also set up an atomic device. I also want to go back to India, too, because there were atomic devices that seemed to have been set up there during the war of in the Ramayana, where Rama went against the forces of Ravana to get his wife back, who Ravana abducted. And this is an interesting thing. Interesting thing there, too, also, is there were particle beam weapons and things being used, including Vimana spacecraft that Michael Kremel was talking about at the Alchemy event, New Humanity Movement. And also, about 5,300 years ago, as described in the Bhagavad Gita and the Mahabharata. Actually, I think it's more in the Mahabharata. You also have the same kinds of particle beam weapons, Vimana spaceships, and nuclear devices that were actually used back then, too. So this is a lot for me to remember. That's why I'm jumping back a little bit, just to like to try to tie things together so you can see once again how things happen over and over and over again. And the interesting part of this is simply that, things happen over and over again. We need to break the cycle, and it's doable. And using the 72 names of God from Exodus and the Sanskrit mantras from Hinduism and yoga, this is definitely within the realm of the doable, and we will pull it off. I've seen it, I feel it, and I know it. When, I can't tell you exactly, but I know we're going into a golden age. I know it's prophesied in the Maya and the Hopi, and there was one other thing I was thinking. Oh, yeah, let's see, what was it? In the Yugas. In India, we're in the Kali Yuga right now, which I said is the worst of the worst, but there's also a mini Sat Yug. So what if we just extended that mini Sat Yug, the exalted state of living in consciousness in ad infinitum? Yeah. So, Well, I just keep going. So, it's just kind of interesting. So in Egypt, you had Sumerians, Lemurians, Atlanteans, and there was an interesting mix. The government was controlled by the Sumerians, and the priesthood by the Lemurians and then the Atlanteans kind of went both ways. But the interesting thing is that Thoth was there too, and Thoth not only helped create the Great Pyramid and some of the other pyramids and the great temples in Luxor, but he also created the Book of Thoth and the Book of the Dead, which I believe is the Book of the Dead, and also Thoth created the glyphs. The language for Egypt. And interesting enough, I found out that the glyphs have cymatic properties to them. Unfortunately, we don't have a way to decode it yet, but it will show up eventually someplace, somewhere, or we'll intuit the information from the Akashic records, something like that, which is a knowledge which is stored. All the knowledge in Earth and every other place is always stored in records. Dr. Hertak talks about a big computer being in the center of the universe where all this stuff is stored. I can't prove that, but it makes sense. If we get to it, we'll talk about computer codes. Also, I wanted to bring something up about the Sumerians. So they kind of they kind of created a human race right here, of which we're a part. At least genetic markers would indicate such. And we were kind of given a short lifespan. If you've ever seen the movie Blade Runner by Ridley Scott, which is, and Harrison Ford is in it, and John, not John Almost, John, Daryl Hannah's in that, Rutger Hauer is in that, some really, really good actors. Anyway, it talks about these, the movie is about these high-functioning cyborgs, robots, humans or in human form with artificial intelligence that they had a shelf life, and when they found out that they were going to that they were only going to live a short span of time, they got really pissed off and started rebelling against the order that was. Well, kind of the Anunnaki did that to us, and so a lot of people say, well, you know, they screwed us over and everything, and in a sense they did, but in a sense they didn't, because recently more and more information is coming up on how we can change our genes and how we can change our DNA at the telomere strands by affecting, by creating the telomeres enzyme that affects those strands, that we can keep our, that we can create our DNA so that we could go into a state of immortality. And this is completely within within the realm of the doable. And a lot of this thing was done. The people in India probably had the inside track on this, because I forgot to mention that a lot of them actually, some of them did go into a state of immortality because they spent so much time doing Kriya Kundalini Pranayam and doing the Sanskrit mantras like Gayatri and Mitrunjaya, which literally make the, which are catalysts like heat, bringing yajna, light, and fire into the body through the pranayamic breathing. It gets everything moving quicker inside the body and helps making the body less material and more light until you get to a state where its basic essence is light or something like that. It's just interesting how all this happens. So I know I'm not even going to get through the whole book, so I'm going to jump pretty soon in a minute. But anyway, suffice it to say, once again, the Egyptians started getting into these disagreements and things, and more governmental structure started building up. As a bureaucracy builds up, your freedom, you can kiss sayonara to your freedom, which is why I really don't believe in government. I don't really think it can work. In fact, it doesn't work except at coercing you into doing things, as opposed to working within the natural structure of things. So that culture basically went into declination by the time that Mark Antony and that other general were there, Alexander the Great were there. Egypt was in its twilight. And then some of the Thoth went to Greece and became Hermes Trismegistus, gave us the Emerald Tablets of Hermes Trismegistus, which is the most amazing thing. You can do a search engine search, just the Emerald Tablets of Hermes Trismegistus, and it will pop up, and you can read it. The Paul Foster Case version is the best translation. My ancestor, Sir Isaac Newton, has a good translation too, but Dr. Case's is really the best. Then kind of the nexus, the power moved to Rome, and there was also lots of power in Persia, or where the Sumer, where the Anunnaki were also. They were going out and conquering everything. The Romans were going out and conquering a lot of things, but their conquerings were short-lived compared to the Persian invasion, or the Sumerians, or the Anunnaki. So when Thoth left Greece, he went to Palestine, and there he became Enoch. Enoch was put into a light body by Archangel Michael, and it was said that Thoth had the ability to move between the stars and from place to place on the planet by simply teleporting himself. And I'm positive he probably had that ability even before then, because he seemed to be in a lot of places at the same time, and he seemed to be moving around quite a bit. Okay, I go into there. I talk about Yeshua, Jesus, and everything, what happened there and what the trip was. And I talk about how the Zionists have co-opted the country of Israel, sadly enough, and bamboozled people into believing that it's a religious thing, which nothing could be further from the truth. But read it and be explained. This, I know this book will entertain you, and I know it will enlighten you, and I know it will give solutions for the things that we all want solved. At least the kind of people that listen to my show know that there's a better way, and that's doable. So after that, Thoth went to the Mayas and became Quetzalcoatl and was very venerated right there. Then you also had stuff going on in Peru and a lot of megalithic structures being made there. And there was obviously a cross connection between Peru and Egypt, because at one of the temples of Machu Picchu and at the Temple of the Sphinx in Egypt, you have this L-shaped stone, and these are the only places on Earth where this happened. So you can see that people can get around, and I sense probably that Thoth even wound up in Peru too, because I'm quite sure that Thoth was involved in the construction of the Temple of the Sphinx, which is just outside of the Sphinx itself and close to the Great Pyramid. So I've been in all of that stuff. I have someone on the line that wants to ask some questions. I'm trying to figure out how to get into there to get them into the show. Normally Paula does this for me. Hello, are you on the air? Do you have a question?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Not on the air, no.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, let's see. Let's try this again. Live, you're on the air. Ask your question, please.
I can ask. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Go ahead, because we're almost out of time.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I can go longer. Doc is ready to rumba.
Well, my question is, Dr. Neutron, to your books. I want to know more about your books. I know that your show has been very interesting about all the different cultures and different countries, ancient countries. But my question is about your book. It seems like I have read some information, but I want to know how all this wonderful book that you just finished, and I want you to tell me how this relate to our society, you know, our people, our at this point our world. I want you to explain something to me about that.
Oh yeah, that's a real simple question. Questions within questions. Yeah, I'm happy to do it. All of my books are available on Amazon. If you take www.amazon.com and then do a backslash and then type the title in lowercase letters, and between each word put a hyphen connected together, it'll come up that way. Or you can just go to Amazon and you can do a search and it'll also come up that way. So the new book, this book that I'm talking about, Beyond the Mists of Time, is I put a lot of love and I put a lot of effort and a lot of time into doing this. You can get, pretty soon you'll be able to get autographed copies from me, but it's available in Kindle at $3.97, which is affordable to anyone, and about $19.95 on the book. I'm trying to get the price down. I lowered it, and Amazon raised it. So I want stuff to be affordable to people. And then I also have a new revised version of The Hidden Codes of God with a better cover and slightly revised text and a much better proofed copy of the book too, not all the errors that are in the older version, which I liked and loved, but this is much better. Also, my book, A Map to Healing and Your Essential Divinity Through Theta Consciousness, is available on there, and also my book, Pathways to God, experiencing the energies of the living God in your everyday life are also available there. Now, when you do a search for Beyond the Mists of Time, you have to put the whole subtitle in too, because unfortunately, I think I mentioned earlier that someone else used Beyond the Mists of Time for their series of books. So you have to put When Trees Ruled the Earth also. So as to how this stuff is solvable, it's interesting. I put it together in the last three chapters. I think it's chapters from 10 or 11 to chapter 13, which is the end of the book. I go back and I show how we can get rid of the greed on the earth. I show how we can get and it's really, this will really work too. One of the ways, besides using the 72 names of God, is to simply make it illegal in all cultures everywhere for anyone to have more than they can use in one place. So if someone is farming, they might need more land. But certainly they don't need to hoard all the fertilizer in the world. Certainly they don't need to hoard all the water in the world. Certainly they don't need to hoard all the petroleum in the world, all the minerals and all the money and all of that things. And also I definitely can see we absolutely have to get rid of money, at least money that's not backed by something of inherent value, and I sense that we'd be better off with no money at all. Now, people say in a modern society, this isn't doable. I beg to differ. I've seen how it's doable. I've seen parallel Earths where it's actually working. So I have a pretty good idea that it's just beyond the realm of theory. And yes, there are many parallel Earths, many parallel solar systems, many parallel Milky Way galaxies, many parallel other galaxies, many parallel universes even. It's kind of mind-blowing, but that's the way it is. I didn't create this. If you don't like it, don't blame me, because I'm not the creator and never pretended to be either. So that's kind of basically what's going down right there. And it's just really interesting to me. It's exciting to me to see that we're on the verge of being able to create this. You also had the Great Pyramid that was also being used, just like Tesla used to create his wireless electricity distribution, tracking electricity and distributing it. This was done there. All kinds of zero-point energy systems have already been used in these cultures, so this stuff already works.
So, I also want to ask you a question regarding your revised Hidden Code of God. I had the privilege to get this book and read it. It was not only very, very wonderful story, like a novel about the writer. It's also a fantastic journey to the unknown, which is the energy and the love of God. I am very happy to see that you also revised the book. I mean, the book is fantastic. I would recommend that book to anybody. So I just wanted to congratulate you for the revision of this book and the new book that you have. I am sure that you work very hard on it, and you will eventually see your fruit of it. You will see, you know, that book will really, people really, really want to see a good book. I will recommend it immensely.
Yeah, thank you so very much. I remember you said you read that book in 2 days or something, and I happen to know that English isn't even her first language. And I use a lot of big words, but she still figured it out. So that's really cool. I really appreciate that. Yes, the new hidden codes of God, and Beyond the Mists of Time and Trees Ruled the Earth. Please read my books. Please read my books. Please read my books. Please read my books. Subliminal Doc, and please give me some review on Amazon. That'll really help me a lot, more than you might ever realize. And if I said the people that I see who do that, because I'm going to be going there and checking, or you can tell me, I can't give you your money back like I originally promised the people, but no one can stop me from remembering your birthday, and no one can stop me from remembering your birthday early either, can they? So I will gift you something or something like that. So thank you very much. This is Dr. Newton saying I'm going to have some more shows this week. One on magnetism in the pyramid and in Egypt is going to blow your mind what Michael Grenier has actually found. And also some things on modifying the weather using Native American and some other energy grid things. Fascinating stuff coming on Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions. This is Doc saying namaste.
You have been listening to Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions with Dr. Robert Newton here on Blog Talk Radio. You can hear this broadcast again and other podcasts of this show at realconspiracies.srbroadcasting.com.